Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram. Get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's going to be an awesome show.
Thank you, Reef. Just watching that video, I just want to join them and go do everything that they're doing there. The sponsorships help just helps us run this conference, and it also means that we can share it live for the 48 hours. Those of you watching, this is on a webinar format, so you will not be able to see yourself on the screen. You will not be able to activate, switch on your mic. There is a Q&A box at the bottom. If you have any questions for Alan, please put that in, and you can vote on questions, and I'll ask the most asked questions. There's also a chat button at the bottom, and you're welcome to chat to all panelists, everyone, or just us or the tech host as we go along. So, there's just so much to say about Alan, and I had to condense it down to short words. So Alan Meredith is an energy medicine practitioner for the last 37 years. She's worked for 10 years in international child advocacy. She's the author of The Language Your Body Speaks, Self-Healing with Energy Medicine. She has a doctorate of arts in creative and nonfiction writing. And her biggest passion is about helping people find their voice. And I just, from what I've seen of her on that, I just love her energy and vibrancy. So over to you, Alan.
Well, thank you, Bhavna. I'm really grateful for the introduction. I'm really glad to have all of you, however many of you there are, here tonight to look at grounding, rooting, anchoring, in changing times. And it's kind of a long, clunky title, but you'll figure out where we're going with it pretty soon. A lot of my friends are talking about change right now. In fact, everyone's saying change is the new normal. It's just been, you know, that year 2020, and it's been several years for many of us where lots of things have been changing, and it's hard to stay grounded. It's hard to know what we're grounding into in a shifting world. It's like having constant earthquakes come through. Where's the stability? Where's the grounding? So change is the new normal. And what I'd like to do is look tonight at what we can do to expand our understanding of grounding and what it consists of energetically, what we can do to support it maybe more fully. And we'll do some energy medicine. I'll teach some energy medicine exercises that we can do together. They're not too hard, but they're pretty fun. And so I think it'll go quickly for all of us. I'm sure noticed lots of change, right? There's change in government. There's change in how people think. You know, we've got this explosion of Zoom going on around the world with the internet, where we're all staying in because of the pandemic and then connecting up with people we would never see otherwise. That's the obvious amount of kind of change. But there's also a lot of energetic shifts going on, particularly in the earth and in our relationship to the earth. And I think it's good to point those out. I should mention, I don't know if Bhavna mentioned that I'm a conscious channel, that I've been channeling for inner teachers. And in fact, my inner teachers originally taught me. So for many years, the only instruction I had in all this stuff came from my inner teachers. And so it was this energetic perspective on life and this inner voice that trained me. And then over time, after I'd been in practice for maybe, 23 years or something, I was seeing clients and it was going very well. I got sick again and I couldn't heal myself. I could have healed you, but I couldn't heal myself. So I went to the bookstore and I found a book by Donna Eden, jumped off the shelf into my arms. And within a week, I was studying with her and I did go through her training and join her faculty. So my approach to all of this is body, mind, spirit awareness, using energy medicine as the baseline way to communicate with the body. I really see energy as the language your body speaks. And I really see that as our baseline communication. So we can use that communication for healing. We can use it to get stability and grounding. And we can use it to evolve our consciousness because a lot of us are being asked to wake up right now. And it's a very exciting as well as daunting time for many of us. So one of the changes that's going on in the earth, many of you will have heard of the Schumann resonance. That's the vibration that is at the core of the earth. It's sort of like the heartbeat of Mother Earth. It's called the Schumann resonance. And historically, it was about 7.83 hertz. You don't have to memorize all that science stuff, but that's the number, 7.83. And not coincidentally, the healthy cell of the body, all the healthy cells of the body also had that core resonance of 7.83. So we were a pretty good match for Mother Earth because we were in sync energetically until about 10 to 15 years ago, things started shifting in the electromagnetics of the earth and the poles started vacillating a little bit. And my teachers came in to me and they said, okay, this is gonna be a little like a bucking bronco ride. There's gonna be a lot of change. There's gonna be a lot of things moving. And you're going to have to find ways to ground that are more effective than just sending your roots down in the earth because the signals in the earth are messed up right now. So you send your roots down to bring up that good, juicy earth energy. And what you get is also the shakeup that you're experiencing there. So we need to work with our energies and evolve them to handle what we're experiencing now, because our bodies were designed to be at 7.83. And the Schumann resonance has been registered down as 2 and up to 30. I mean, basically all over the map. What does that do to a body that's listening to a particular heartbeat? It's a little like when you're going downstairs and you miss a step. It can cause your energies, your body to stutter, and you don't even know you're doing it. It's just these little kind of almost shocks to your energy self. But another kind of change we're going through that my inner teachers have taught about for a while, and lots of other people's teachers, I don't think this is unique to me. A lot of people are saying we're ending a major era. And that's moving out. You can call it the patriarchy. You can call it an era of real black and white, right answer, wrong answer kind of thinking, really polarized thinking. And that served us to have certain kinds of experience of what you can call contrast. It's either this or that. And we had lots of very dramatic experiences based on these contrasts. But that era is moving out. And what's moving in is something that people have called empowered yin, or I like to say it's both and thinking. It's the ability to carry this reality and that reality and that reality and hold them all in your awareness without having to create battles between them, without having to choose this is the right path. There can be many paths that serve many people in many contexts. And so how do we learn to be part of a consciousness where there's lots of different storylines going on that have some validity? It's a challenge we're all facing right now. And I think it's been made more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just been exaggerated by what's happening with the internet and all the 24/7 news feed, all the storylines that go past our awareness in a single day are overwhelming to the body self, which really evolved 200 years ago to have one storyline and to live that storyline. And, you know, I'm here and I'm with my family and I'm farming this farm and I go to this church. Whatever that storyline was, the body was in sync with it. Well, now, you know, is the Titanic sinking? Oh, no, it's this story. No, it's that story. And we've got so many signals coming into the body that we have to be able to evolve the body's energies to handle them. And one of the things that's opening up, I think, in this time of awakening, and I'm sure most of you listening have felt it or had inklings of it, is that we're becoming more aware of the ecology of life forms, that we are part of nature. We're part of bigger patterns than others. And I think we're used to thinking of ourselves like grass, like a blade of grass. I'm here and I'm separate, and you're here and you're separate, and you're there and you're separate. But if you look under the surface, that grass, the root system is all intertangled and interwoven. And in the plant kingdom, you know, if you have a stand of trees and you water the trees on this side, they'll share the water through the root system across the entire acreage of trees. And I think we get to learn how to do that too. That's kind of one of the aspects of evolution that's coming up for us. So our nervous systems need to evolve to handle greater stimulation and more storylines. Our immune systems need to be evolved. I think right now we're quite vulnerable to things like viruses that come in and upset our balance very easily, and we don't know what to do with them. And I think that's a learning. We're kind of in a crash course for that one right now with the pandemic. And we just can use embodied work, including energy medicine work, to train this very smart body, which is designed to learn, but train it to work more effectively in the new settings that we find ourselves. So where we used to ground in what felt like a pretty fixed universe. I mean, you know, you ground in Mother Earth and she was pretty steady, and you ground in your job and you could probably expect to keep it for many years, if not a lifetime. You'd ground in a family or in a town and identity. And all those things were much, much steadier. We could count on them. Now we have to learn what I call a moving grounding, that we can ground in a situation that's always changing. So before I talk about, I'm going to unpack the concept of grounding and maybe give it some more language to talk about the different aspects of it energetically. But before I get there, I want to just sort of pose the question of how does being ungrounded relate to illness? You know, is there a link to, if I'm ungrounded, do I get sick? And if I'm sick, do I get ungrounded? And the answer is yes to both of those questions. That's my short answer. Basically, a bunch of things happen when you're not grounded. We're designed to be hooked into something. We're designed to be part of a web of connections. So when we are not in healthy relationship to that web of connections, we get a backup in our electrical signaling. The electrics of the body go a little haywire, and that affects your nervous system. So you might have trouble sleeping, or you have a lot more, you feel more jumped up, or you have trouble settling into your body and being present, or you have trouble with being present. You start multitasking and not knowing what to focus on. Those are all symptoms of not being adequately grounded. What happens then when we're ungrounded is it triggers something that I call your gatekeeper. Now, your gatekeeper is essentially your immune system. It's your physical, emotional, energetic, spiritual, and mental immune system. And the reason I call it gatekeeper is it keeps the gates of self. It says, this is me, this is not me. This can come in, this has to stay out. This is safe, this is dangerous, right? That's what the immune system basically does. It triages things coming in and determines how to keep the peace in the body. So I call that the gatekeeper. It's a mechanism that we can work with and train, or it can just run away with the ship and make our lives miserable. The gatekeeper, when it's triggered because you're not adequately grounded, it then sends off stress chemicals, you know, goes into fight or flight or freeze or fog, all the gatekeeper reactions it can have. It creates stress chemicals. It creates inflammation in the body, which is at the root of almost all illness. And it creates other really unlovely symptoms like lots of phlegm. You know, it can do all kinds of things. It's really quite clever. Coughing, sneezing, you know, it can be quite exciting when the gatekeeper gets triggered. And all of it is just saying to you, hey, let's look at grounding. Let's see if you're really adequately grounded. When that happens, when the gatekeeper gets triggered and you're having these unlovely symptoms or reactivity, it's very hard to hear that wise voice within. It's very hard to access the inner guidance system. We lose some of that internal connection. So does being ungrounded make you sick? For some people, yes. And for other people, being sick makes you ungrounded, which makes you sicker, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So the things we're going to look at where I am tonight in this session are tools that will help you reinstate your grounding in many dimensions. Okay. So I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to have some water. I don't want to go too fast. I want to unpack the concept of grounding. I've been saying grounding, but I think that it's useful to give different names to different parts of it. And please, it's fine if you want to call it all grounding. You can use different names. I don't think my terminology matters, except that it's a designator for different aspects. So the first, I will use the term grounding, but I'm going to define it as think in terms of a grounding wire. Okay, grounding wires take excess energy, say from a house or a circuit, and they send it back to the earth. So that excess energy doesn't back up into the house or into the body and overload the circuitry. So that's grounding, and in the sense of grounding wire. A couple years ago, I had to have a grounded plug put into my house, and the electrician came over, and you know, he was sort of explaining what he was doing as he worked. And he said, I've got to look up how deep this grounding rod goes now. They keep changing the regulations. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, the earth has so much stuff grounded into it, it's gotten super saturated. So we used to go down 2 feet and then 4 feet and then more feet. And we had to keep going deeper and deeper because the earth got so super saturated with all of the energy being put into it. And I just thought that was an amazing thing to come out of his mouth. I thought it was wonderfully poetic and symbolic, but also true. So when we think about grounding and getting the excess energy off, I actually set up a universal recycling bin for myself. I like to take the energy and put it into the recycling bin, mainly because if I don't want it, I'm not sure Mother Earth wants it either. And I don't want to super saturate the ground because there's lots of plants and other things living there. It's not a rule, but if I think of it, I throw things into that I'm wicking off, that I'm getting rid of. I throw them into the universal recycler so they can get to the people who need them or to the consciousness that needs them. It can be transformed. So that's grounding. Now rooting is like plant roots. And plants set roots down to get nourishment. So grounding to wick off, rooting to bring nourishment in. You send the roots down and you bring nutrients from the soil and you bring liquid from the soil to nourish you. Or if you're a plant, you send out air roots, you get moisture from the air. And so rooting is the act of bringing in nourishment. And what's interesting about rooting is that when we work with rooting, it really brings us much more into our sense of the collective, into what people are calling the swarm mentality. Lately, there's some thinkers talking about swarm mentality. It is our interconnectedness of life forms and how we are rooted and nourished in different dimensions by different kinds of life forms. So it's not quite as individual, although I have to be rooted. I'm rooting into something that is that nourishes many. And hopefully when I put nourishment out, I'm going to help nourish many as well. But when we look at rooting, we're not just, again, looking at the visualization of sending roots down. We're looking at what affiliations feed us. What is it, what membership or connections feed you? What sense of tribe or belonging do you have? And how do you relate to other life forms? Because we really are meant to be fed by much more than just food on a plate. That's rooting. Now, anchoring is what the boat does at night so it doesn't float off and find itself out in the middle of the ocean by morning. It puts down an anchor, and that anchor keeps it steady. It keeps it in a certain place or in a certain setting. And so our question as people is, or my question is as an individual, and you can ask it for yourself, is what do I anchor in that's safe and that's healthy? Historically, we did anchor in our identity. We anchored in our family name. We anchored in the town we lived in. We anchored in our national pride if we had it. We anchored in our faith and, you know, various things. And it was so steady, we didn't have to keep pulling up anchor and putting it down again. Now, I think we're being asked to practice over and over again. Oh, wow, I was anchored in that job and I just got laid off. So where do I put my anchor so I'm not just in free fall and free float and freaking out that I don't know where I am and I don't know how I can and get a purchase or get a perch somewhere? So the act of anchoring is another dimension of grounding that we want to be conscious of. And I like to think in terms of healthy anchors, and there's some that are more healthy than others. We often are anchored by our rituals. You know, if I go on a walk and take the same walk every day, that kind of anchors me. I feel like, oh, I'm part of this neighborhood. This is my life. I belong in it. And that's pretty healthy anchor, assuming that, you know, there's not like a wild dog on the route that's going to bite you every day. But then some of us use rituals. For example, you get up and you read the paper and you have your cup of coffee and it anchors your day. You're ready to start because you've had this little ritual. It's good to look at the content of the ritual, because if you're reading the paper and it's full of toxic news and you're drinking stimulants, and I'm not anti-coffee, but you need to look at whether your own body needs the stimulants at that moment or whether you're kind of gilding the lily. You woke up and you're already ready to move, or it's keeping you from embodying and you're just letting the coffee wake you up rather than really coming home to wake your own body up. Then you might say, well, can I come up with another ritual that is equally satisfying? So the healthy anchors are the ones that nourish us, the like rooting, you know, they're related. These are all interrelated, of course. But the unhealthy anchors are, you know, the person that you're obsessed with and you keep looking at their picture and having imaginary conversations in your head. And then when you see them, they treat you like crap and you're thinking, oh, wait, I'm anchoring my attention in this person, but they're not a steady place to anchor my attention. Now I'm gonna go beyond the title of the course. I couldn't put all of these in the title. Another way that, another dimension of grounding is centering. And many of you do this in your embodiment practices. Centering means not just coming into the body and embodying, but being able to shift your attention to different parts of your body. In other words, I'm not centered if I just do a breathing exercise and I come into my heart. I might be in my core, but if I don't also take a few moments to center in my hands and my arms and my legs and my feet and my ears and sort of all the outliers that are part of this amazing instrument that I'm going to be playing all day, then I'm not fully centered. I'm just kind of in a gathering place, which is helpful, but we want to connect up the centering for the whole body. Another dimension of grounding is distribution. And you might not think of this as grounding, but if I have a grounded wire to my house and I'm bringing the electricity in and my wiring is wonky, so that the electricity comes in, but it backs up and it short circuits and it, you know, it ruins my vacuum cleaner and, you know, it does terrible things once it gets in, then I'm not really grounded fully. So having the circuitry work, getting the circuits to move and function well is another dimension that we often don't think of as grounding, but that distribution of energies is part of the healing task when we want to ground as a way to address illness. And again, you might be seeing how all of these are ways to do self-healing work with yourself, even if you don't have a diagnosis, or you do have a diagnosis, but there's no treatment, or you know the treatment, but it's terrible and you want to do something for yourself. These are all really places you can start for self-healing. So I think I'd like to now take some moments to teach you some energy medicine to do for each of these aspects of grounding. And if you're in a place where you can get up and join me, do it physically, that would be awesome. If you don't have space to get up, do it in your chair. And only as a last resort, I'm going to invite you to don't visualize it unless you have to. A lot of times I've had classes and students, I'm teaching an energy medicine exercise and the people are there with their eyes shut, kind of smiling. And I'm thinking, wait, I just said, lift your arm and there's no arm going up. What's going on? And I'll say, hey, are you okay? And they'll say, oh yes, I'm visualizing lifting my arm. And I'm not making fun of it, those of you who do that, but to say that the body doesn't always get the memo. So I really believe that when we can include the body in whatever we're trying to do to heal ourselves or to work with our energies, include the body because she gets the memo and it goes much better and much quicker. And so all those modalities that are always in the mind, they're wonderful. And some people's minds are quite powerful and they get wonderful results. But why would, if you're a musician playing the music of your soul, why would you leave out the instrument? Why wouldn't you try to be playing the music of your soul on this amazing instrument? So that's just my little soapbox for the moment. I'm going to come back where people can see me to lead some exercises. Just give me a second, and I invite you to get up too. And let's see. Okay, I think you can see me here, right? Okay, so to start with exercises for centering. And what I want to say is these are exercises I teach. I've got dozens I could teach for any of these. Feel free to make one up if you don't like the one I'm teaching. Okay. But this one is called touch bath and it's wonderful for centering. And it's just about what it sounds like is that you're going to start just touching yourself all over your body. Now I like to go to a place and spread the skin apart a little bit. It's a little bit of a self-massage. I don't do it super light. I'm not tickling myself. I'm actually reaching in far enough to maybe influence the fascia of the body because that's underneath the skin and it's a rapid communication crystal in the body that sends messages everywhere. So it's good to bring that into the conversation. If you don't like that, what I like about this is you're making space for energy to move. And that's one of the key principles of energy is it needs space to move. So that's why I like this to open up space to move. But you may prefer to do little figure eights, you know, do a touch bath with figure eights, which helps more with energy integration. But you're going to just give yourself this touch bath everywhere. I'm going to skip the microphone tonight. And you might even breathe into your hands, like breathe in and send your breath through your hands. So you're actually trying to oxygenate your body and bring that oxygen through your hands and all the way over your body, all parts of your body, front and back. And you can also play with moving your mind, moving your brain to different parts. I mean, we're taught the brain's up here in our head. And often this is the headquarters for how many of us function. And some of us, myself included, grow up being a little bit of a head on a stick without much happening down here. So what I like to do is I like to bring my brain down here and let her sit in my belly for a while. And so this is the headquarters. This is where my mind lives. and just feel what it's like to operate from this place. And I just incorporate it right into the touch bath. I just cradle my new brain. And maybe I take it down and put it in my feet so that my feet are where my intelligence sit. And so now I'm thinking with my feet and I'm just feeling my mind down there. It's an extension of touch bath to bring your awareness, to bring your consciousness to different parts of your body until you are fully embodied and centered at home. Okay, so that's that first aspect, centering. I've moved them around. I changed the order a little bit. Now we're going to look at grounding. Now, remember, I defined grounding for this talk as wicking energy off or removing energy. And I'm going to invite you to come up with a gesture that wicks energy off. Maybe it's like this for you. I'll do one. You can do mine. You can do your own. Or you can take Donna Eden's exercise, expelling the venom, if you know that. And like that. That's a lovely gesture for grounding and release as well. But I'm going to take one where I'm going to grab all of my energetic overload and I'm going to put it in my recycling bin. Grab the overload and put it there. And I actually pull it. I actually feel in my body that I'm pulling it out. Because when you use gesture, when you actually use movement, your body gets that message and carries it through into deeper learning. You learn it in all of your brains, all over the body. So I'm just going to ground again. It's like the touch bath. I like to pull all the excess off everywhere. I'm going to pull some off here because I've got a lot going out of my head at the moment. Okay. So that's just creating a gesture of release, putting it in the recycling bin. Then for rooting, remember rooting is about getting nourishment. We can absolutely send the roots into Mother Earth. And I'm going to do that actually as part of anchoring. So what I want to do is teach you how to root in a divine source. You can either see it as the universal grid. It's like we are all connected in this web of connections and you want to plug into that. Or you can just plug into the divine, however you perceive that. This is called the divine hookup. And it uses index fingers, your first pointer finger. And you're going to take your left pointer finger and you're going to plug it right into the heart of the divine or the heart of the universal grid, however you want to see that. And then you're going to take your right hand and you're going to bring that radiance to wherever on your body you feel you might want it or need it. Now, like with plugging in to the wall, when you plug in, you don't have to then visualize, okay, electricity, come in, come in, come in. It just does it. You plug in and it flows. And that's how radiance works when you plug into the heart of the divine. You just get a real good flow and then you can send it to where it needs to go, okay? And I'm gonna give you another exercise that relates to rooting and to nourishment. And it's called the seven spirals. And what happens is that when we have an energy field around us, an aura, and it gets clogged, you know, it's like the environment around the earth. It's like the weather, right? And you can have clouds and you can get pollution in the air and it can be kind of close. It can be uncomfortable after a while. So you want to be able to clear the airwaves so nourishment can come in from all the dimensions that we have access to. So this exercise is called Seven Spirals. And it's based on the notion that in most sacred traditions, there's seven sacred directions, okay? To the left of me, to the right of me, ahead, behind me, above, below, within. And what we're gonna do is you're going to put your palm facing each direction that you say, and you're going to circle one way and then the other with your hand. It doesn't matter which way you do first. You can do both hands together. Don't do them opposite. Do both together, okay? So we're gonna do ahead and we're just gonna circle five or six times, whichever direction feels comfortable to go first. Just go by instinct. You can't do it wrong because after six or seven times, you're gonna go the other way. I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly. You can do it more slowly and get lots of information about each of the directions. For behind, I face my palm back. If I can't put my arm here, I can do it out here and get the same effect. So I do it back here because I can put my arm there at this point. So I'm going to circle one way and then I'm going to circle the other. Okay, so that's, we've done ahead and behind. Now, if both hands want to go the same way, you can do it one, do them together. If they want to go different ways, you have to do one at a time. Mine usually want to go the same direction. And that just shows you how lazy I sometimes am. So you're going to circle 7 or 8 times, not lazy, just efficient. And then you're going to circle the other way. Okay, so we've done ahead, behind, to the left of me, to the right of me, above, circle one way, and circle the other way, below, circle one way, and the other way, and within, circle one way, and the other way. Now, for anchoring, we're going to do something called Earth Dock, Sky Dock. There is, according to my inner teachers, a stabilized shelf. There is an area under the surface of the earth, 8 feet down, that is at this point quite stable. So what we're going to do is we're going to breathe in and send our tap roots down from the middle of the foot. If this is my foot and these are my toes and this is my main foot, the tap roots come right about here at the kidney one point where the two little cheeks meet. It's a big area, so you don't have to worry about precision. You're going to breathe, put your feet a little apart. You're going to breathe in, and on the exhale, send those tap roots down to click in to the earth dock. You can do one at a time, always on the exhale, or both at once. And then you're going to breathe in, bring that oxygen up, and you're going to dock. You don't have to scooch down. I'm just doing it for the camera. Dock on the star that has your name on it, your soul's star. Also called the sky dock. So bring that energy up. On the exhale, click it into your soul star and then breathe in and bring that energy back down to meet with the earth dock. Now you're in your power triangle. Okay, so feel that nice balance between earth dock and sky dock, and you're here suspended between them. That's quite an anchor. But if you put your arms out, what you have is a five-pointed star. And this is great for distribution because in many traditions, both Chinese medicine and lots of earth traditions, the five-pointed star represents the balance of the elements like fire and water and earth and wood and metal and sometimes air, depending on the tradition. So what we're going to do is we're going to reinforce that distribution, and we're going to be figurating between the earth dock and the sky dock. So we're going to start with your right foot. So listen to my words, right foot, go down 8 feet, and you're going to figurate between the earth dock and the sky dock. That's water element to fire element. You don't need to know the names, but I'll just name them. And you're just figurating. The figure eight balances yin and yang, and it helps support the in-out breath, which is air element. So it brings the air element into this five-pointed star. Then you're going to go from fire, which is the sky dock, down to your left foot dock, which is metal. Again, figure eight between the sky dock and the earth dock of your left foot to metal. Then you're going to go from metal, 8 feet down, to the right hand, which is wood. I don't know if this is reversed for you, so I'm saying the hand. It's left foot to right hand. And then you're going to go from right hand to left hand, wood to earth element. So figure eight between those two. And then you're going to go from earth element back to the dock at water, the right foot dock. So figure eight that. And then you're just going to start circling up on the right, down on the left, up on the right, down on the left. Do 3 or 4 of those to get the flow going. And that's earth dock, sky dock, those two things together, earth dock, sky dock, and then the five elements balance it in many dimensions and help distribute the energy that you've balanced and docked. We're going to do one more for distribution, but we'll do it sitting down, and then I'll end and we'll have some questions. So I'll just invite you to take your seats and I'll come back to my seat. And this last one is called Healing Hands. And it also helps with distribution and getting your wiring working. And it's very simple. You're just going to rub your hands together. You're going to take one hand and say, where do you want to go on my body? And just put it there. Don't think it. Just let the intelligence of your hand go there. Then you take your other hand and say, where do you want to go? And you put it where it wants to go. And then you just hold that connection for a minute. It doesn't have to be a minute. It can be however long you want. And you just feel into it and breathe into it. And at some point, and I'm going to go a little faster with it than you might want to go, so you can do this after we're done talking. You ask one of your hands, do you want to move or do you want to stay where you are? So this hand wants to move and this one wants to move as well. And then you move there and you'd hold that connection. And you just feel into it. And you keep doing that, letting the hands move and hold, move and hold. You can do it slow and luxurious or kind of faster as needed until you feel like you've finished a process or you run out of time. And either one works, because what you're doing is you're reinforcing your own personalized energetic wiring. You're strengthening the inner circuits that you have set up in this lifetime to transfer meaning inside this wonderful embodied instrument. So I'm going to end there, I think, because we want to have some time for Q&A.
Okay. Wow, Ellen, I just loved that. I love the exercises and feel like I've had a lovely bath. Thank you.
Great.
If you have any questions, please type them into the Q&A. I think you've answered this question. We've got one question in the Q&A, but I think you've answered that, but you can go again. What is the difference or connection between centering and grounding?
Okay, centering is where you, in the definitions I gave, centering is where you ground into your body, or you anchor and root into your body. So centering means I become present in my body. Grounding means I have like a grounding wire. I am removing excess energy. I have a way that the excess energy can go out of me and go back to either the earth or a receptacle that can handle it. So I've differentiated those two just to sort of say there's the inhabitation part of it and there's the removal part of it.
Okay. We're still waiting for more questions.
Can I say, while you wait for a question, I'll just add one more point that I didn't have time to say that I'd like to.
Go for it.
I love energy medicine and I love making up energy exercises, and I encourage you all to play with it and do that yourself. But ultimately we live our life, you know, all day long doing things, and everything we do can become what I call lifestyle medicine. So if I'm feeling ungrounded, for sure I'll do Earth Doc, Sky Doc, because it helps. But I might say, you know what? I don't have enough water right now. I'm feeling very ungrounded in water or uncentered or unrooted, you know, whichever of those terms. I'm going to go wash the dishes, because that activity is going to give me what I need in that element. We don't always ground just to the earth, or we don't always, root or anchor just to the earth. We get our nourishment and our connection from many different elements and dimensions. So you can work with that throughout your day using what I call lifestyle medicine, of just choosing the right activity that your body, mind, and spirit really need to bring them back into unification again.
Okay. Cool. From Michelle, I do earthing outside on the grass or ground. So would this be considered grounding?
When you're earthing outside on the grass, yes, automatically your body is grounding, giving back to Mother Earth what it doesn't need. If you're tuning into the grass and really connecting with it, you're also rooting, because you're tuning into the root system of the grass and it's bringing energies into your body. So we don't always separate them out. The point of separating them was to understand that they're different energies or different aspects. But if you can find an activity that does all of them, do that, because it's much more efficient, and you just get more of a return on your activity or on your effort. So for sure, grounding in the grass is great.
Cool. Another question from Nora is suggestion for pain. She's got pinched nerves in her necks and shoulders and hips.
Okay.
It's hard to think about grounding when you are in pain. And
right.
What practices?
Right. So one thing is to show up for the pain. If you can touch the area, if it's not too painful to touch. If it is too painful to touch, you might think of, you know, say you've got a really sore neck and you can't touch it. You can touch above and below it. You can make a magnet of your hand and flip it back and forth in the field outside the pain and just see if you can't get the electromagnetics moving through that area. You can pull attention to another part of your body. For example, if I have a really bad headache, I often plunge my feet into very cold water because that pulls the energies down to my feet. And wherever you have pain, there's usually either congestion, constriction, or over energy. So you want to be able to get the energy out of there. So your gesture for grounding of like mine pulling it out and throwing it into the recycling basket, try that. See if that helps to start to reduce some of the pain. In other words, ground through the pain and in working with the pain to bring it connection, release, nourishment. What else did I have? Centering and better distribution.
Lovely. Sounds great. Lovely suggestions. Yep, she just said thank you. She will try that. What other practices would you do for dryness or providing extra nourishment to the body?
I'm sorry, what would I do for dryness?
Yes. And like if you're providing extra nourishment to the body.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. I think it's really helpful if you haven't done this to make a list of everything that nourishes you in this life. And so, you know, maybe the first few things are foods and maybe not. But, you know, is it a beautiful sunset? Is it reading a junk novel? I mean, those two are on my list. Is it playing with your kitty? That's on my list. Make a list of everything that touches your body, mind, or spirit and feels nourishing to you. And then make sure you have plentiful inputs of those things and that when you have them, you're really doing them. So if I am out and there's a beautiful sunset, and I'm fiddling with my camera so I can take the beautiful sunset, take a picture and send it on Facebook and show all my friends the beautiful sunset, they all see it and I don't. So it's about learning also to inhabit the moment to say, what is nourishing about this moment? And can I take that in? And when you get really good at recognizing the multiplicity of nourishments we're designed to take in, even a good fight, you know, a good argument can be nourishing if you breathe into it, if you appreciate the other person's passion, if you work with respect and say, can we have this conversation and disagree and each be passionate in respect with each other? How can we do this in a way that it nourishes us rather than drains us? And it all comes down to what fills me versus what drains me. And the nourishment, you can put in the best food inputs that some food guru has told you, you know, you've got the perfect plate and you've got it, you know, you've got them in your body. And you might not get any of that nourishment if you haven't taken the time to really take that food in, to recognize that it's gifts from the earth and that many hands have gone into making this beautiful food and bringing it to you. And the act of eating as self-feeding, like you feed a child and take care of that child. So there's nourishment is not just about providing inputs, but really taking the time and care to take those inputs in and make those moments of self-care, self-parenting, tenderness, whatever you want to call it, but certainly enjoyment.
Love that. I've recently started doing that, not always, but feeding myself as I would a child.
Yes.
And yeah, just eating becomes such a different experience when you feed yourself rather than I'm eating.
Yes, Yeah. And, you know, I've had so many clients who have the perfect diet. I say, you know, how's your nutrition? What's your diet? They say, oh, I eat the perfect diet. And they do. I've read the books they read and it's perfect. But I look at them and I think, no, you eat perfectionism. Every time you sit down, you sit there thinking, oh, I'm so perfect. I've got this perfect. I got this down. And you're not, you know, it doesn't taste good to you and you're not taking it in and your senses aren't getting the triggers that tell your body how to release the nutrition from the food. And so sometimes you get more nutrition from something you totally love that's not technically nutritious, like a Dairy Queen, well, I'll call it ice cream, or, you know, something that is supposed to, you know, you're supposed to avoid on those healthy diets. But if it feeds your soul, it triggers your body to take the nutrients in and use them. There's much more to nourishment than the chemistry. And I think that we get hung up on when experts extract everything from the real experience, tell us what the essence is, and then give it to us in pills, whether it's literal supplements or whether it's like little rules on how to live our life. No, you know, it's about living life in a juicy way.
And our next question kind of links to that in terms of what would you recommend to be the first step for someone who is having a panic attack and feels very ungrounded from a place of panic, fear, and anxiety?
Panic attack, I would always start with, probably start with a touch bath. Just touch yourself. And sometimes, like if a child's having, you know, freaking out and flailing, we swaddle the child, right? We swaddle her, we wrap her in a blanket and hold her and rock her and comfort her. And we restrict her for a few minutes so she can't keep, getting more and more frantic and spinning out. So you might try taking a blanket and swaddling yourself and rocking and crooning and touching. Go right back to calming that infant because she's not verbal at that point and, you know, any other thoughts aren't going to happen.
Nice. Like that. Okay. Any more questions? Last chance to ask a question. Okay. So while we're waiting for maybe one more question to come through, I'll just do a closing and see if there's any questions before we end.
Okay.
So thank you, Ellen. That was just So amazing. I couldn't really think of one point to say I love that because I made notes and I was like, oh, I love that and I love that and I love that. I just love it, all of it. I think the touch bath for me is a favorite one. And just what you said now about just swaddling and holding yourself just feels very holding and calming. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And if, like me, you've loved what Ellen had to say and want to watch this again a few times, probably, please remember that it's on for 48 hours for free on the link. If you want to own the library, please do so. Please buy the full package because that allows you to have this and all the other amazing sessions available to you for life. I have the package, and for me, it's just lovely to have it for life because every now and then you forget about something, and then you remember and go, oh, yeah, what was that thing about that? She had this bath thing. What was that about? And then it's there. I can access the video, and I can go, oh, yes, the touch bath. That's how you do it, or the elements, or just it's a lifetime worth of knowledge that's available. Buying the package also means that you support us in the embodiment conference and we can make this free to other people. And it also gives you that opportunity to share the links or share certain videos with your community. And what I like about me having the library is that as I empower myself, I empower those around me and my community. And in that way, this library isn't just for me, it's for all those who I come in touch with, because I'm going to take something from each talk and put it into my toolbox and my body and my life. So yeah, that's from me. We've got two more questions.
Okay.
One was just, well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
And tips for how to help children be aware of the energies, please. And that would be the last question.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, our language is full of words for energy and descriptions for energy. So, you know, you can have invite your child to tune into a sensation in her or his body and say, well, what's that feel like? And if it's a color, what color is it? And if it's a song, what song is it singing? And if it's a rhythm, what rhythm is it playing? You know, not the whole list, because that's going to overwhelm a kid, but keep inviting your child to articulate what they're experiencing or to help put language to what they're experiencing. And in our language for grownups, because we have to relearn this language of energy, we're always saying things like, oh, I feel like my head's in a vise, or my head's full of sawdust, or my head's going to explode, or my heart just feels so heavy right now, or my heart is jumping with joy. We have so many metaphors and ways of talking about energy, and listen to yourself and gather those and say, well, what in the whole realm of all my experiences in this life does this moment remind me of? What is this feeling I'm having right now? Oh, right. It's like going down the hill on the last day at camp, knowing this is the last fun thing I'm going to do till next year. Or whatever experience that you associate with that moment, that's a description of that energy moment for you. And you can unpack it like we did with grounding and play with, what do I know about these pieces that are in this thing that I had to give a name to because it's a unique experience of mine, and I want to work with it as energy.
That's lovely. Thanks a lot, Ellen. So if you'd like to join us, sorry, we don't have more time for any more questions. If you'd want to continue chatting to other people, please join the coffee group. The link has been shared in the chat group. And to end with, Ellen, in one sentence or less, what would be your top tip for embodiment?
Enter into ongoing and regular and constant conversation with yourself. Dialogue with your body, and it will chat back. It will let you know what it needs and wants.